As 2025 comes to a close, we're taking a look back this week at some of the top local news stories that made headlines in our area. Today, we're reviewing March, April, and May's top news stories. Over in Pottawatomie County, where a high-profile double murder trial began in the month of February for Dana Chandler, the woman at the center of the 2002 shooting deaths of her ex-husband Michael Sisco and his fiancée Karen Harkness at a Topeka home. It was the third time Chandler had been tried for the murders after two previous attempts to convict her had failed. Chandler was initially convicted in 2012. However, those convictions were overturned in 2018 due to prosecutorial misconduct that culminated with the disbarment of an attorney. Then a second trial held in 2022 ended in a hung jury. But this time, the third time was the charm, as Chandler represented herself, at times sparring with prosecutors during cross-examination and with some damning testimony from Chandler's own children at trial, and her story conflicting during cross-examination as well. Chandler was found guilty by a jury in March of two counts of murder. She was denied a fourth trial in April and later sentenced in June to serve two lifetime terms. For years, the Riley County Police Department has had a relationship with Fake Paddy's Day, but in the weeks leading up to this year's event, the police department declared it was breaking up with the annual event. That messaging was ramped up in the weeks leading up to the drinking holiday that spills over into Manhattan neighborhoods as a way to deter violent crimes and property crimes. Fake Paddy's Day calls for service were down slightly in 2025 compared to 2024, partially due to that effort. RCPD Director Brian Pete told the Riley County Law Board in March.
The five-year average for calls for service during Fake Paddy's Day is 435.6. So again, we were up a little bit, but again, we've decreased about 5.6% in calls for service.
Pete said the majority of issues officers encountered were not from Manhattan residents or K-State students.
These were folks who came in from out of town and were, again, looking to do whatever they can, thinking that there was going to be no accountability for any poor decisions that they may have made.
Now, RCPD issued 284 citations during Fake Paddy's Day, including 110 for open containers, up slightly from 274 the year before. Arrests were down 40% compared to the five-year average. The Manhattan City Commission began tackling a foray of issues in the months of March and April, which had residents speaking out primarily along the Anderson Avenue corridor. Amid construction of new roundabouts going in north of Manhattan, talks began of a potential roundabout on Anderson Avenue near the Unger Complex, which received quite a bit of pushback from local residents. City staff members presented to the commission on April 8th a proposal to include a roundabout or a signalized intersection as part of the city's reconstruction efforts on Anderson Avenue over the next 2 years. Assistant City Manager Wyatt Thompson said staff members were in favor of the roundabout option.
I feel like it has the positive effect on traffic calming as well as allowing the through Anderson traffic to flow freely through the intersection, but gives that pause point as you move through the circle to help slow speeds through the corridor, also reduces conflicts and severity of the accidents that would be a potential at any intersection.
The project also could have seen College Avenue extended to Anderson via the east side of the College Heights Baptist Church property. John Ball, the church's chief of building and grounds, said the church would like to expand in the future and was not interested in selling the property. Residents of that area, including Carol Baldwin, also spoke out against the roundabout option and the College Avenue extension.
My property would be directly affected by the proposed College Avenue extension, as it would be located just adjacent to my backyard. The placement of the road in this location would be devastating for me and destructive to the neighborhood. It would likely impact not only the value of my house, but drastically decrease my quality of life living in Manhattan.
As for the Unger Complex itself, city commissioners ended up rezoning that property from business commercial to high-density residential, despite some pushback from local residents concerned that the property was being converted into a 106-unit apartment complex.
To be clear, the studies I have read on this topic often cite that nearby commercial and public spaces that come with high densities, where is that possible in this area? If it isn't, then we probably won't see the benefits that have been suggested.
The Unger Complex is one of a few housing incentive district projects that Frontier Development is partnering with the city on. We'll take a look at more of the top local news stories from this past spring in our next newscast here on News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples reporting.